This is Mae Brussel, and it's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California, and it's broadcast number 575. If you live here in Pacific Grove, you can hear the chimes outside. The clock tells us what time it is. It's very nice to hear those chimes out here in Pacific Grove. This week, and every week for that matter, is fundraising at this station. There are many people who get these tapes, and they're played on other radio stations, and what I have to say tonight about contributing to this particular broadcast or this station also applies for people out of the state or in the state that have stations that hear this broadcast that I have, but particularly I'm talking about this local station that needs funds, as do most of these public broadcasting stations. Formerly, I was at a privately owned radio station, and I didn't have to ask people to contribute. It's unusual to have to do it, but there are advantages to this kind of a station. There are no commercials at any time, and not only World Watches, but there's a wide range of music and foreign languages and folk and rock and reggae and poetry and a lot of interesting programs that are scheduled. The station is run by people on no salary at all who donate their individual talents, and each one of them has a listening audience that should be interested in the subject that they particularly are doing, and I've made a commitment to myself to try to raise maybe $1,500 for this station from people that I know, and some of you have been very nice and sent in money, and it's equivalent a little more than a dollar a month sent to the station as a subscription, or more if you have more. And tonight there's going to be somebody taking telephone calls, and you can pledge to this station at 375-3082. But if you want to wait till the hour is over, I'll answer the phone and take calls. And also, if you have a question you want to ask me and that you want me to put on the air on a particular area that of research that you're interested in that you might have missed before you listened to my broadcast or you weren't sure about, whether it's the Jonestown or the murder of rock musicians or the Robert Kennedy assassination or some of these stories that are in the news that are of interest to you. If you want me to do part of a broadcast dedicated to you and your curiosity and repeat for some people who didn't understand or didn't hear it, if you give a donation to the station and have a membership, I'll do a segment next week and the week after and continue for people and do a section of my program for those people that subscribe to the station. If you want information from my research files, I will share it with you. If you are contributors to the station, students are $10 and senior citizens are that price, and regular subscriptions are $15. Sustaining members are $25, and patrons of the airwave are $40. So you can call in 375-3082. But if you don't want to miss part of the program, you can wait till it's over, and I will answer the telephone and speak with you. And if you make a pledge, you can also make a request if you have one. If you're satisfied the way things roll, we'll keep it going that way. But if there's something in particular that you want me to answer, make a pledge, and I'll answer it for you on the air in the weeks that follow. And that way you will get a background on that subject, as well as my sharing this with other people and filling you in on some of those events. The station allows, as I say, a good choice of topics, not only right here in Pacific Grove, but up north, Santa Cruz and Watsonville and Salinas and over the entire area. And there's discussions of movies and of jazz and music and women's subjects. And anything that you want to share is available on this program. So you have to ask yourself, this kind of radio is available now. How many people actually appreciate the freedoms that we have? There isn't a day that I open the newspaper that a new freedom isn't being taken away. And these kinds of things like freedom of press that we had during the anti-war movement, when people were against the war in Vietnam, are no longer here. Do you realize that? That they went under the Berkeley Barb, the LA Free Press, the newspaper in San Diego that was good, one in Philadelphia. Where have they gone? Well, John Mitchell didn't put them under, and Richard Nixon didn't put them under, and neither did Ronald Reagan or the conservative establishment of the CIA, the Defense Department. They had a COINTEL program. They tried to sabotage these papers. But the main thing, the main reason they went under was because the people, the so-called liberals who care about society or cared about Vietnam, thought that when Vietnam was over that all the problems in the world were solved. And then they went to such things as self-introspection and improving themselves, which is great. You can do that simultaneously. You can be a vegetarian and still support a newspaper or radio show. You can deliver your own baby and support a radio station or a newspaper. You can make your macrame and your homemade clothes. You can recycle your clothes. You can drop out of the system. You can not have credit cards. That is not being a social, a person of social concern. The ultimate of concern are people like the Abraham Lincoln Brigade that went and fought Franco over in Spain. But there are many areas and many injustices going on today. There's going to be this terrible bloodbath in El Salvador. We saw Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam decimated, and with Agent Orange, and our own people came home with these terrible chemicals and genetic problems with their children. But what makes these things fold up, like radio stations like this and newspapers, that were giving you articles or opportunities to tell what was going on, was the people that should have supported them got lazy. Not the power structure, because I know myself that I was a survivor through the 60s and 70s, and I haven't changed anything. And so far, I'm still here to do what I'm doing, which proves it can be done. And I can still do the things, boycott certain stores, boycott products like Nestle's, if the formula is for poisoning people. I can stay away from certain manufacturers or industries, Nestle's chocolate. You can have a Christmas without Nestle's Toll House cookies. You can use Ghirardelli's, but you can look at products and see the fascist links connected to these places. You can boycott these things. You can have a lifestyle, which in effect is a statement, just as growing hair was a statement, or recycled clothes are a statement. You can have a lifestyle like that, but that doesn't support the people who are telling you what is going on in the world. And every time you hide your head and don't want to know, it gets worse, and it's better to have some responsibility for your own life. And for that reason, I think that you should send in pledges to radio stations, this one in particular, or if they're same type of station where this is played, support that station. If you're listening to me here in this radius, support this station, because this is where you're getting the news that is really going on. I just got a call from a friend and a co-researcher who lives in Salinas, and she heard on Radio Moscow tonight that Frank Turple has said that he was working with Mohammed Ajah, the man who shot the Pope, that he supplied material for him. You heard that first on World Watchers. You heard that a long time ago. And the propaganda against the Soviet Union and the Bulgarians, even if they were Bulgarians, they could work for the CIA. And the network really belonged in Frankfurt and with the Grey Wolves and the Nazis. And that a murder attempt on the Pope was done to not only to wipe him out for particular reasons at that time that I've discussed, but for the purpose of blaming the Soviet Union for being the Antichrist and having them go pass through Bulgaria, and therefore the Antichrist. And you have to know who your enemy is. Are these people doing the things we're told they are doing, just as the Gulf of Tonkin was an attack that we had on our own radar system? We were not actually attacked, and we're still paying the debt. We'll never pay off the debt for that war and the other wars that we've had. So the point is that you have to, and you should, do everything you can simultaneously, but you should be supporting station like KAZU. A typical example is Ted Gandolfo in New York, who's been a researcher into the John Kennedy assassination for years. And I've mentioned his name on the air, his tape cassettes that he has available. And he wrote what he called an article. It's not an article. He can't write, but he thought it was an article. And he sent it to several, about 20 magazines, and they rejected it. And he sent it to magazines like Gallery and Penthouse. He says, where are all the liberals? Well, you don't work with the mob and the syndicate and expect them to give you crumbs or stories on these kinds of things. But it wasn't well written. They turned it down because it wasn't well written. Even those magazines have good articles. So he calls me from New York. He says, do you think Paul Krasner would publish it in The Realist, his article? Krasner went broke 10 years ago, and Gandolfo doesn't know it. Gandolfo is asking me to have Krasner publish his thing. But if he had supported Paul Krasner for 10 years, The Realist would still be here for everybody to publish, just as he published my first three articles. If these people were so interested in John Kennedy, they still could take The Realist and read what other people are doing. And I give this as an example that somebody comes out of the woodwork like a Rip Van Winkle and wants Krasner to do something for them, or they'll come to me 5 years from now. Would you put this on the air? If the station doesn't have the money, they won't know it, you see. If you invest in it, you have a part of it, and you can contribute to it. And the point is that we don't wake up years later and say, where is it? It slipped by. The point is, it is here now, and there aren't that many sources of information in the country that are free to all of you. So it's important to remember, write if you want to Box 206, Pacific Grove, California, 93950, or say May sent you. And pardon me, keep the subscriptions in the other room until I'm through. Mm-hmm. Maureen, go out in the other room. We'll finish. And somebody just brought me in a pledge, and I appreciate it. But just close the door, and we'll do it when we're through. We did get a pledge, but I'm not going to read them on the air right now. We can do it later. Now, getting back to, I'll go some more into this subject later, but going back to the format we have had in the past weeks or years, I just want to review quickly what was said 1 year ago tonight to remind you of the kind of material that was on the air. That was broadcast number 523, December the 13th, 1981. I was talking about the world's number one arms dealer, Samuel Cummings, in London, whose sister is married to Senator John Tower of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Now, Cummings is the man involved with the massive weapons supply that Frank Turple worked with, that worked directly with Frank Turple. So 1 year later, the assassination attempt on the Pope is linked to a man who is a CIA member living in London with his offices in Monte Carlo and had a part in trying to shoot the Pope. I talked about the Randolph Hearst family paying $300,000 settlement over the death of Myrna Opsahl, O-P-S-A-H-L. That was a mother of three, a pregnant woman. Emily Harris allegedly killed her at a bank robbery in, up in Northern California near Sacramento. And Patty Hearst drove the getaway car. The Hearst paid off. Now, you know, they're not prosecuted for the murder. The husband takes $300,000. You could pay somebody to shoot your wife for $300,000. Here's a woman killed at a bank. The people that killed her are not charged because one of them responsible for the getaway car was Patty Hearst. I mentioned the ex-prosecutor's story, D.A. Browning, in the SLA case, and how Jimmy Carter interfered and wouldn't let him prosecute Jack Scott, who helped with the getaway and drove Patricia Hearst back east after the fire in Los Angeles and the SWAT team killed the other people. Now, D.A. Browning's name is in the news this week. 1 year later, his name is in the news, and it's in a case that is very important. And there's a lot of women in this area and around this area that are involved in the women's movement that are concerned with women's problems. And one of the most important cases involving a woman that is going on in the courts right now involves D.A. Browning. The woman's name is Tina Fishman, and I don't know if you read the story or not. Tina Fishman in the 60s belonged to the anti-war movement. It was very active as a political activist, and she's a member of the Communist Party now and lives in Chicago. She separated from her husband, who's a physicist at Lockheed Missile and Space Company, and D.A. Browning is the attorney representing the husband to take her child away. They took her child away from her a year and a half ago. They admitted that the child was healthy, the child is active, that she has shelter, and they're not arguing. They said that she's not neglected, that she has the right education, she has shelter, but the environment of her mother's politics allows this court, if it's possible, this week to remove the child from this woman. The computer scientist at Lockheed Space Company is going to try this week with D.A. Browning to take the child away from this woman. And her attorney in San Francisco said that this is a case of a political, it's an absolute political extension of the police state. The child's a straight-A student, well cared for. The mother does everything she's supposed to do. And the mother responds, she says her husband, former husband, the father, has the child. He's working for a company that makes cruise missiles, Trident submarines, weapons designed to kill millions of people to maintain a U.S. empire. What kind of environment is that to raise a child in? They're saying that hers is the wrong environment because she is anti-U.S. imperialism and anti-Lockheed missiles and the killer team, and they have he took her child a year and a half ago, and she's trying to get that child back. And D.A. Browning, the same man that got Jack Scott off for taking Patty Hearst to Philadelphia and worked with Jimmy Carter to see that all that supported her in that great escape weren't prosecuted. The San Jose Mercury had an article, Browning, a former U.S. attorney who prosecuted Patty Hearst, said his decision to take care of this case was based on evidence of Reva's neglect. Neglect, not through terms, this is the way it's spelled out, not in terms of food or clothing or shelter or education or tangible necessities. It's neglect because the father is working for Lockheed Missile and the mother's politics as a Marxist are too far left for her to raise her children. Now, this is a very serious thing, and if this goes through, then your child can be plucked from you, and the next person's child is plucked from them. This is the beginning of another vice, and this is the kind of information that you may or may not have read, but a year ago, I was talking about D.A. Browning. I also was talking a year ago about Richard Allen and his role in his gave the whole biography of Richard Allen, not the whole biography, but certain points about him, and his role in 1960-61 in Freiburg, Munich, and how he came back and in 1962-66 founded the Georgetown Center for Strategic and International Studies. He founded it with the money that he brought from Germany and set up this study, and Richard Allen was the national security advisor that left at the time of the scandal of the Japanese money in his drawer and the payoff. Now, this week it was recommended or suggested in the news that Mr. Allen become our ambassador to Bonn, Germany. That's Helene von Damm in Austria and Mr. Richard Allen in Bonn, Germany, and the marriage between the United States government and the Nazi regimes gets closer and closer. And, of course, I had a whole link of Richard Allen's chronology going into his years with Army intelligence and overlapping the Mark David Chapman experiences and the murder of John Lennon. And this is a very important tape, in case any of you don't have it, number 532. It was December the 12th, 1981. That's what we were talking about on the air just a year ago today. Now, another reason it's important to appreciate this kind of broadcasting, and I want to share with you, maybe in a three-part, the first part tonight, a letter I got from L. Fletcher Prouty. It came out of Alexandria, Virginia. Now, Fletcher Prouty was a liaison of the Air Force, Pentagon, to the Central Intelligence Agency. He flew the airplane of very many famous people and generals, and I can give you a rundown of some of the people he's mentioned that he was directly responsible for. Fletcher Prouty wrote the book The Secret Team. And on the cover, it's hard to describe him. He says in this book, and The Secret Team was a group set up by President Truman, established by Congress. The CIA was to gather data. When the Cold War came, the administrations gave it more power, and they set up their own secret group inside of the established intelligence group. And those are the ones that do the massive killings, and he says they're all over the world. He mentions Cuba, Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Germany, Hungary. Of course, they were in Iran, and they're in the Philippines and in South Korea, wherever the military dictatorships come, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, you name it, Paraguay, Uruguay, wherever there's military dictatorship, they have done it, like the military junta in Brazil in 1964 or in Dallas, Texas in 1963. Now, Fletcher Prouty in the U.S. Air Force was the official focal point officer for the Air Force for the Defense Department with contacts to the CIA, and he wrote this book, The Secret Team, to alert you, and it's in paperback. You can get it hardbound, paperback at the library, to alert you on how a section was born out of the original CIA of military people, scientists, educators, your teachers, people at high schools, colleges, faculty, business dynamos, intellectuals, so-called economists, became members of the secret team. Now, Fletcher gets a copy of these broadcasts every week. Charles Spears has a secretary who types them up, and he makes copies for many people, and that's a very tedious job to do, and it's one reason I spell these names on the air so they'll get them clear in transcribing these tapes. And Charles sends these out all over the country to very important people. And Hope Fletcher probably gets them every week from Charles Spears. And he wrote me a letter which makes my holidays and makes me feel very good and proud. And I want to share with you what he's saying about this kind of broadcasting and what I'm trying to do and what you can do by listening and helping support this. He wrote this week, December the 8th, May, I would like to write every time I receive one of your, he calls them the articles. They're really the equivalent of a whole article every week. There are many transcribed pages. He says, every time I see them, your tremendous research is so ably augmented by the gift of assimilation and accurate intuition, where so many people see words and hear the ideas they do not see in what they have read and heard, the things that are important. And that is the essence of what is going on. Many people see words and they hear ideas, but they don't see when they read it, and they don't hear what's important. And that's why I reiterate it. If you saw it somewhere, and I try to take articles you haven't seen and repeat those. He said, we are the prisoners of our own ignorance and the victims of arrogance of the high cabal. At the same time, we now have at our fingertips the means to make life and living on earth heaven. It was intended to be, and no one will ever find it anywhere else. For our troubles, I do not blame those who have done and are doing all these enormously evil things to us. I blame ourselves. Anyone who would believe what he heard about the many murders around us, starting with John Kennedy, etc., does not deserve any more than he is getting. And that is important because I feel like Fletcher when I watch TV and these human interest stories and the factories that are closing to go out of the country. And he's given me an economic explanation I'll share with you in a few weeks. I won't do it tonight. But when I see people crying about the conditions now, they don't have this, they don't have that, isn't Reagan terrible? That this is their own ignorance. We had him out in California for 8 years. If anybody wanted to know, there was blood dripping off his hands at that time, and project what he could do as president, it was all there. He says, people that can't figure this out do not deserve more than they are getting. Anyone who cannot see the tremendous opportunities afforded us by the development of production capabilities and the gift of computers today doesn't deserve more. It is all in our hands, and we do so little about it. And that is true. We do so little about it. If I asked you, maybe at the end of each broadcast, if there were 100 people listening or 1,000 people that listen and get these tapes and hear the broadcast, if each one sent a dollar, you know this station would be home free for all the airtime or the people. If everybody just put in an envelope $1 a week, not a membership, do you know that they'd be just fine and dandy and no hard candy Christmas on top of it, okay? That's all it takes. It's in our hands, and we do so little. What he said in the letter is what makes your work so important. This makes it important. If minds cannot be open, then not much else can follow. And the assumption of people not wanting to open their minds or to contribute is that if the bomb falls, we'll all die anyway. The bomb may fall and you may have half your skin, or like that child in Vietnam that was on TV recently whose body was in flames with napalm that time. You may not be the survivor, but you may have the napalm. So Fletcher is recognizing that this is important, and I know it's important, and I want to share it with you because I don't mind the criticism or suggestion. I like suggestions, and I will take criticism from a peer group who's read the same material I've read and understands it. But there are a lot of smart aleck people who say, oh, you don't believe this, you don't believe that, and they don't want to put their own investment into the things that are published, the things that they hear, to try to understand it. I'm not sure they're capable of it, but assuming they're capable of it, give them the benefit of any doubt because there's not much time left. It is very important. And as I say later, I will, if you want to call 375-3082, we'll take the question from you, and then during the weeks that follow, I'll answer it on the air. And then he wrote a joint letter to Charles Spears in Texas and to myself, which he also said, and he said, May and Charles, this is a good date to be writing a letter about some important things. The two of you have been doing such a superlative job that I just have to tell you from time to time how great it is. Nothing is more important today than to have people using their heads and then doing what they can to see that others understand with them. You both deserve my congratulations to the fullest. I thought I'd send you a few thoughts on some work I've been doing. And that I will share with you. One is on the Nguyen Bank and Edwin Wilson and what happened there. And the other is why the country is bankrupt. And it directly overlays the work and the research I've done. He understands that perfectly. And it is a compliment to get a letter from him because he is one of the highest people in the Pentagon and the CIA who left there and acknowledges the fact that we are doing something and that we're on the right track. And if you want to stay on that track and follow these events, again, send to this station or send a letter, Box 206, Pacific Grove, 93950, and say, May told you to send in and that you appreciate this kind of broadcasting. Now, last week I was talking about Peter Drucker, the man who invented Henry Kissinger, and Fritz Kramer. This is the man who brought Fritz Kramer to this country, and Fritz Kramer invented Henry Kissinger, every bit of it. Well, just as of interest, this month in Psychology Today, December 1982, there's an article, A Conversation with this same Peter Drucker, Peter F. Drucker. He is the leading management consultant to the multinational corporations. He worked for General Motors, John DeLorean's company. He worked for Ford Motor Company. DeLorean's dad had worked at Ford. There's a book about him, a biography called Drucker, The Man Who Invented Corporate Society, published by Warner in 1977. It came out. And he tells about his value in corporations. He takes them and teaches them how to merge and how, pardon the expression, to rape all of us, I won't use the other words, take us over the coals, but how the multinationals and the business corporations can work and merge and accumulate the capital and leave us with barely the utilities to pay at the end of the month while somehow or other their profits keep going up, and maybe it won't always escalate if there's a massive depression. But he's the man who is managing the businesses while Henry Kissinger manages the corporations. Now, Kissinger is on the board of ABC Broadcasting now. He's been put on the board of CBS. He's at Fox Studio. Alexander Haig got promoted now to the board of MGM Studio. I'll do more about that later. He has gone on to, it's a full cycle from the Jewish immigrant, the family of Louis B. Mayer, who wants to make it big, you know, the little yid that comes to Hollywood, builds a big studio, goes to bed, not literally, but figuratively, with Herbert Hoover and with Randolph Hearst and all their Nazi friends, and with his Ida Koverman, the secretary, who was Hoover's secretary, and brings in all the fascist mentality and Jack Warner to Hollywood that any two people could do. This isn't a Vatican problem or a Protestant problem either. These people just went with the fascist element. They had no foresight. Now the studio, I knew Louis Mayer, grew up practically around that studio. Now Haig is on the board of directors. It's a different game with Mr. Kerkorian and Mr. Rothman. But the man, Peter Drucker, who made these corporate giants, has Henry Kissinger and Haig, his two puppets, out in Hollywood. And, you know, Adolf Hitler knew very well what to do with the studios and how to use the motion pictures for propaganda. In this article, it also tells how Drucker does non-government work. He advises the government, but he works for a wide range of institutional clients, from the Girl Scouts to Christian denominations. And that's where I think the missing millions and billions is going, that he's sapping and putting these corporations into debt, and it's going into the Christian denominations and the electronic Christian churches. So Peter Drucker, born in Vienna, educated in Frankfurt, went to school with Fritz Kramer. He brings Kramer to this country, where he links up with Henry Kissinger. He puts him in Harvard. And this man is the head of the corporate know-how, with his two puppets really making decisions in countries and places that rule the world. Now, the corporations are in trouble because they have canvassed away or put in the Swiss banks for their safety and given loans and money that we can't touch. They know where it is, and offshore banking in the Cayman Islands and so forth. They have salted away a lot of money, as have churches like the Vatican with their $1.2 billion in Panama, and they won't tell where it went. Although the newspaper today, the San Francisco Chronicle, said $50 million went to Lech Walesa. Well, I said before, Solidarity was a farce. Walesa was a front. He was put in by the CIA, the AFL-CIO, the same group that overthrew Allende and had the bloodbath in Chile, with Killer Haig and Kramer and Kissinger behind that. It didn't work, because the Russians are smarter than us, see? And they stopped the Solidarity, probably took the $50 million worth of weapons, and so it goes. Now, we're going to take a one-minute break here, and for those of you that record this program off the air, and stop it now.